helpful once again. So why should we pray? Does anyone want to shout out things? Pardon?
Get healed.
To get healed.
Thanksgiving. It changes us.
Any more?
Intimacy
with God. Any more?
To release God's kingdom over communities.
To release God's kingdom.
For others?
So, you can sit down now, Aaron. Thank you very much. I should call you up again later, sorry. So, basically, in the Bible, in Jesus' teachings throughout, we're encouraged in Paul's letters to pray in all different ways with all different kinds of reasons. And I know that sometimes prayer can be a struggle. Maybe it's always a struggle for us at different points. But, you know, I really feel it's essential to the life of a disciple of Jesus. And although at times it is that struggle, with persistence it brings great joy in our lives and it sustains us in our walk of faith. So I want us to look at a passage. You know, if we read the Gospels, Jesus often went off in the wilderness to spend time by himself with the Father. And in Luke 11 verse 1, Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them how to pray. And we're going to look at that little passage in Matthew 6. So if you want to get your Bibles or your apps and go to Matthew 6 verse 5 to 13. Matthew 6 verse 5 to 13. And would somebody else like to read it? Someone different to Aaron.
And now about prayer. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. You love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I assure you, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you and pray to your Father secretly. Then your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered only by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, because your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honoured. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done here on earth, just as it is in heaven. Give us our food for today and forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Great. Yes. Thank you. So we're just going to look through these verses and just think about them. So first of all, just look at those verses 5 to 8, where Jesus is basically saying this is all part of his sermon that he was giving on the Mount, where he's really trying to get into the heart of the matter. And, you know, he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they can be seen by people. But, you know, go into your own room, pray, your Father in heaven sees what's done in secret. Now, what does those verses mean? Now, when I was at university, and I was president of Christian Union.
Wow.
Yes, it was such an honour. It was. Sorry, that's actually bad. We were going to do prayer walking. This sounds kind of bad for me to say, but we were going to do prayer walking. And some in those days, back in the day, people used to write physical letters from the CU complaining to me about things that were going on. You know, or actually emails were beginning to come in. I got a few emails. And so I got written a letter from someone in the CU quoting these verses about why we shouldn't have... It was sincere on their part, but they really felt like we shouldn't do prayer walking because these verses, what they said. And basically they missed the point because they were like, oh my goodness, it's like against what Jesus says, we can't do prayer walking. And, you know, the reason we do prayer walking is as we walk around, it inspires us, you know, to see people and things, to pray. But this person was like, you know, Jesus said we mustn't do it. But he missed the point. Jesus wasn't necessarily literally meaning you can only go to your own bedroom and pray in private. Because if you look through the rest of his teachings, we can see that. He was talking about the heart. Don't pray just so that you look good on the outside. God's not interested in those prayers, really. He's interested in the honest, real, authentic prayers. That from our hearts, when we're like, you know what, this is really rubbish. This is what I really want to see in this situation. I'm fed up with this. You know, if that's how you're feeling. You know, that's what God is interested in, authenticity. Yeah? So he's not interested in us just praying to look good to each other. He's interested in us praying from our hearts. He cares about what's going on in our hearts and us being real, having that real, authentic relationship with him. So, you know, that's part of Jesus' teaching on prayer. So then, if we then look where Jesus says, pray then in this way, our Father who's in heaven. It's really important when we pray to think about who are we praying to. We're praying to God who is Father and we are his beloved children. And that changes how we approach. I can't remember if it was John or Pete. Actually, it was Pete, wasn't it? It was saying about, you know, if you think that God, was it an old man with a bright beard? Distance. Yeah, that's who God is, it's not. And that's the point that Jesus is getting across to us here. And, you know, it was on Friday, it was really sad. We had Jan's memorial. And it was so emotional, but it was so amazing. And everything that was said about Jan was completely true. It wasn't exaggerated. She was an amazing, loving person. She wasn't perfect, because none of us are, but she was real. And the thing that she had a revelation of was that even though she was going through a terrible thing that ultimately ended in her death earlier than we would have liked and she would have liked, but she totally believed that God was loving and good, even though she was experiencing incredible suffering. And that was amazing to see. And it really came through on Friday as we kind of remembered her and shared about her life. And it just really struck me again. God is a good, loving Father, and I am his child. And that's the most important thing. And so as I speak to him about the things that are going on in my life, the world around me, my friends, my family, I speak to a loving, good Father who cares. He's not distant. And even though there's a lot of unanswered things about prayer, as we will talk about a little bit, but ultimately it doesn't change who God is. Yeah?
Yeah.
He's still good, and he's still loving, and he's still present, even in the rubbish. So, you know, we approach it in that way. Then verse 9, hallowed be your name. You know, we worship God in light of who he is, a good, loving Father. Then verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, as well as talking to God, it's about friendship with God, talking to him about stuff. But when we're wanting to see God intervene to bring change, we are praying for God's kingdom to come, that place where God, the God who's love, good, is reigning. We're praying for his kingdom to come into individual situations, family situations, whole places. You know, what does it look like when God's kingdom comes, as we say it so many times, here, Forest State, Enfield Green, Royal Holloway, you know, in different places. What does it look like when God's kingdom come? And, you know, as we seek to follow God and find out more of who God is, we begin to understand more of what it looks like when God's kingdom comes and the amazing things that happen. And we start to pray that into being, that God's will be done on heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom of love, joy, peace, and all of that stuff. You know, when we were with the Pinions, the place where they live, like, I kind of feel like, unless you really felt called by God and that God gave you this real love for the people, because the people are amazing, you wouldn't really want to live there. And it's so hardcore. It's a really difficult place to live in, and especially for what, you know, the backgrounds that we come from, what we're used to, and our different comforts. It's tough. And but you kind of think as well, what does it look like in this place where God's kingdom comes? Now, how we think about that, well, obviously going to be affected by our own individual culture, but there are some things there that you kind of think, oh, it just seems not right, you know, where people don't have enough food and medical care and all kinds of things that go on, and just wanting to see God's kingdom come in that place. So verse 11 says, give us this day our daily bread. You know, God as a father is also concerned about our needs. You know, sometimes we can almost feel like, we get these weird ideas in our heads of like, oh, I can't ask God for this thing because he needs to do this other thing that's much bigger and needier. Like, you know, these people over here who are starving, I can't ask God about this need that seems insignificant. God is interested in all of those things. And Tom Wright, who I love, as you know, theologian, says, treat God as Father and let him know how things are with you. That's his comment on that verse. The next verse says, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Let's talk about sins, the things that we've done wrong, the things that people have wronged us. And you know, in that place of prayer, in connection with a loving, good God, we find ourselves changed, that we can offer forgiveness to those who've hurt us, and we can receive forgiveness for the things that we have done that have hurt others. And that is a place of real healing and freedom for us, and a really important thing. And then finally, in verse 13, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, God is interested in our protection from forces external to us. And, you know, as followers of Jesus, we have that hope, because no matter what terrible things are happening around us, God is always with us. And into eternity, he's going to make everything new and okay. So even like, say like for Jan, we may feel like it's really unfair that she died early compared to how long we can live these days. But into eternity, we have a different perspective. There's a hope where God is making everything new. And so it's something about having that eternal perspective, what it means for God's protection and God being with us as well as for now. I just want to read you that same passage from the Message translation, because I feel it's really good. Are you ready? The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you're dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply like this. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best, as above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes. So, does anyone have a story they want to share about answered prayer, very briefly? Something that has really struck you? I'll tell you a very seemingly silly one, but it was quite... there's a couple of things that happened in my childhood which were answers to prayer that really influenced me in a positive way. And one of them was, I probably was about 6 or 7, and our next door neighbours, who we didn't have that close a relationship with, they got a dog. And they basically locked the dog in the bedroom next to my bedroom, and it would just bark and bark and bark all the time. Even when I was going to bed, all I could hear was this dog barking. And this was going on for a while. And one day, my dad came in my room and he said to me, "Should we like pray that the dog stops barking?" So I was like, "Yes." We prayed the dog stopped barking, and it did. It never barked.
Did it die?
I don't know what happened. Every now and then, I thought I should think to myself, I should like find out from my mum and dad at the end of that story. But all I know is that something happened, and it wasn't locked in the bedroom door anymore, and it stopped barking. And this was, you know, this was referred to many times in my family, so it's not like I've remembered it incorrectly as a child. My mum and dad have remembered this story. But yeah, so it's a very silly thing, but as a child, it kind of was teaching me that God is interested in these things as a father. Any other simple story that anyone wants to share?
I had a dog once that wouldn't stop barking. And once we had the opportunity to go on a mission trip many years ago, so we haven't been married for that long, and thinking about where the money would come from, and we've been praying. But we just knew it was right, so we started to turn our direction to making that trip possible for me. And so the date was getting closer and closer, and I hadn't really secured all the money we needed. Then out of the blue, we got a letter from Runnymede Borough Council of all people saying that they changed the banding for the property on our house for the community charge, whatever it was then. And we got a cheque for £900 just out of nowhere, which covered the whole trip and the expenses and everything. Just out of the blue, so it was a real answer to prayer.
That's great. Any others?
Another money one, actually. When I went to Mozambique the first time, I'd been reading Heidi Baker's book about how she never really asked for money, only asked God, and I thought I'll do the same. And I remember praying for a specific figure of money, which I wrote down. And the next day getting a check for the exact amount that I prayed for. And then later on I needed some more money when I was out in Mozambique to extend my stay, to go on a 2-week outreach into the bush, but I had no money, because I'd only really budgeted for, not for that time. And I shared this deed and we prayed about it, and after we prayed, a woman came up to me and said, "How much money do you want?" And I was like, "Well, I'd been praying beforehand, and I'd had this figure of £200." And so the next day, it seemed like a lot of money to ask for, but I was just like, I don't know, I just can't get the figure £200 out of my mind. And she said to me, "Well, God told me to give you double of whatever you ask for," and she about at that time it was about $2 to the pound, and she gave me about $800 and paid for my trip.
Yes.
Very good. So I'm sure there are more stories to share. So Aaron, I need you once again. This time in green, maybe.
This is my last Friday month of the year.
how can we pray is the next question. So just want people to shout out ideas of what you have used in your life, that either what you're doing at the moment or have helped you in the past, ideas about how to pray.
Music.
Tell us a little bit about what does that look like.
So for me, I either play worship songs or I listen to worship songs and focus on God.
Brilliant. Great. Any others?
Looking at the Bible.
Yeah. So that's great. So when you look at the Bible, Richard, how does that help you?
Well, it's sort of, you know, it's a significant kind of thing that hopefully helps you in some way.
Great. That's good. Any more?
In tongues.
Praying in tongues. How does that help you, Tom?
I feel like it engages my spirit sometimes rather than my mind. And maybe helps my mind to be aligned with God's spirit.
Great. Any others?
In the shower.
In the shower. How does the shower help you?
It's a thing that you should do every day. just thinking of nothing or starting to think about the day ahead, just using that time to pray.
So something that you do every day where it doesn't require your brain as a rhythm works well.
To be outside.
Outside.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah.
Just being creation and being reminded that this is creation and trees and things that I always feel more inspired to pray.
That's good. Very good. Being outside.
Sort of linked to the first one, but stopping. Stopping and paying attention to the things around around me. Reminds me of the detail and the just the intricacy of everything and the simplicity of it as well. Yeah, so just taking stock of our surroundings.
That's good.
Praying with other people.
Yeah, that's helpful. So I often use my journal to write stuff down that I'm speaking to God about and trying to listen to God in that. So I just you don't have to write all these down, Aaron, but a load of different things. Meditation, speaking out written prayers, crafted prayers or a liturgy. I have a prayer that I've written for the journey and I try to pray it every day. And it helps me because if I think, oh, I should be praying for the journey as I'm the leader of the journey. And then I feel like, oh, I'm not really praying enough. But having something written that I've spent time thinking about, things that are good to pray over the journey, just really helps me in that discipline of every day to do that. Walking and talking, lighting a candle, singing prayers, sometimes having a set place where you go that helps. You might want to have it. I've got a little prayer book which I write different things down that I want to be praying into, or Bible verses and things, or just things that God's answered prayer. Prayer walking, listening to God and praying in response, praying over prophecies and dreams. There are different apps you can get with daily office, they call them, of different prayers and Bible verses. Those can be helpful. But if you want ideas about how to pray, in the prayer room there's loads of different ideas out there for praying this week. But on the 24/7 prayer week there's ideas as well. So, we're going to end in the next couple of minutes. What makes prayer difficult for us? Actually, Aaron, I need you back. Sorry.
This is actually the last time. It's flat. Sorry.
Right, very quickly. What makes prayer difficult for us?
Not not feeling worthy or shame, things like that.
Not feeling worthy or shame. So sometimes when we've done stuff, we want to keep away from God rather than going to God. Any others?
Distraction.
Distraction, yes. Busyness and distraction, which are very much present in our culture.
Disappointment. I get impatient sometimes when I'm pregnant.
You're getting impatient, yeah. Disappointment. That's probably a massive one. If we prayed for stuff and we're convinced that God was going to do something, it doesn't happen. It's very confusing. That's a whole other thing to talk about. But that can really then stop us from praying. You know, years ago now, someone that I knew had cancer, and you've probably heard me talk about it before. We all prayed, the whole church prayed, really convinced they were going to get healed, and they didn't. When they didn't, it was very damaging to everybody. And I realised after a few years, I didn't really pray for people to get healed anymore. Like, it wasn't a conscious thing. It was a subconscious thing that happened. When I realised it, I had to, like, work through that. So disappointment is a real big thing. Any others?
Unbelief,
yes. So we feel like, what's the point of praying? It's not going to make any difference.
Doubt,
yeah.
Discouragement,
yeah. That's definitely. You know, if you're going through a difficult time, sometimes it's really hard to pray. Like a few years ago, I've shared a bit about this before, but when I was like really feeling like quite burnt out, I still like in my core loved God and was passionate about what God wanted to do, but that place of connecting with God was hard, and I had to work through my stuff in order to be able to find that connection and enthusiasm once again for prayer. Any others?
Misunderstanding the character of God,
yeah, so key. Not trusting the goodness and the love of God. Maybe you feel like God's angry with you or disappointed with you, just doesn't care.
Feeling you're not going to be authentic.
Do you want to just expand on that a bit? So if you feel like you need to pray in a certain way with others, but that's not your feeling inside, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, be walking in the flesh and not walking by the Spirit.
Yeah.
And how you're going to
yield
to yourself and
yeah.
not walking in the Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. So not like trusting God or relying on God. So sometimes with related to that, maybe sometimes pride can get in the way for us, that we don't want to recognise our need of God. We think that we can make it on our own. Maybe we haven't got motivation to pray. We don't understand why we need to pray. So these are some of the things that can make it difficult for us. You can go this time, Aaron. You might have heard of this quote before. I only recently found out who actually said it, but Archbishop William Temple said, "When I pray, coincidences happen. When I stop praying, the coincidences stop happening." That's very good, and is true. So, Pete, do you want to just share what your hopes are for the 24/7 week? Great. So, I'm just going to pray. I just want to encourage you to be thinking about these. We're going to end because I know we're short on time. Should we just pray? Lord, I just thank you for this wonderful opportunity we have this week to pray together and have this space. And Lord, just pray for all of us, those who aren't here today. This would be a really key time of connection with you, Lord, where we hear your heart for people in our community and beyond. And your heart for us, Lord. And I pray that as we pray, that we would be transformed and we would be more a part of bringing your kingdom to to the places where we find ourselves, Lord. So I just pray for a real breakthrough for us. I pray for those of us who are in a place where we don't feel connected to you, or prayer is a struggle. I just want to pray for movement forward in that for us, Lord. Pray that where we've got disappointments, where we've had unanswered prayer, that you would bring healing into those places, Lord. Amen.